really believe that we can live a life free from fear. And I know in our first hour, we talked about how we can really look at fear and see the many disguises of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Satan's secret weapon really is fear. I believe that's his major card that he plays in our lives, a trump card, so to speak, really get to us. I believe he comes in on fear, and then he brings a lot of other things along with it.
We talked about timidity. We talked about manipulation and control, Darren. We talked about the generational curse of fear that comes down through the family. We can cut it off. We talked about tradition, fear of failure, fear of success, poverty, fear of the unknown, and intimidation of man, which is fear of man. And we read in Proverbs where the fear of man brings a snare. And that's so important to know that we mustn't fear man. We just mustn't. But right now, we're going to talk about some of the causes of fear. And I know you touched on that in Exodus 14 about how they wanted to go back. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They saw Pharaoh and his army pursuing them, and they were so scared and they were frightened. And they said, "What have you done to us? We're going to all die here." And the solution is there that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind to be able to think rationally.
You know, that's a scripture that we can't go over too often because, number one, it details what fear is. It's not a condition, okay? It's not a malady of some kind. It is a spirit. And if you're going to successfully deal with fear, you really have to treat it as a spirit, which is what it is. So you need to bring in a bigger spirit to take care of the spirit of fear, and that's the spirit of confidence from Jesus.
That's right.
And that will drive it out every time.
Don't you agree, Darren, that especially with parents, with children who have, for instance, panic attacks, or they're fearful of going to school and that kind of thing, the parents take them to the wrong doctors. They don't take them to Dr. Jesus. They take this boy to psychologists, to psychiatrists. They take him to medical doctors, which they can't help. They can't help because that's just a symptom of what's really wrong with that boy. He's got fear, and you're right. The only thing you can do is deliver him from a spirit of fear.
Well, and you use the right word, deliver. It's not a matter of healing. It's a matter of deliverance.
Yes.
And that's a scary word for a lot of people because they go, "Oh, you know, the snake charmers in Kentucky use that word. And, oh, you know, that's just why my kid isn't demon-possessed." We're not saying that, but I believe this. If an evil spirit, even whether you want to call it a demon or not, an evil spirit can oppress your child. It doesn't matter whether it possesses and totally controls him or it sits on his shoulder and messes up his life and his day and yours. You can do something about that with the power of Jesus' name and the power of the Word, but you've got to know the power. You've got to know your authority in the Word and your authority of Jesus.
That's right.
One of the things I see today, Barbara, is a lot of people have great fear that they're going to run out of money.
Well, that's
true. You know,
true.
Really, they say, I've lived in denial, but now, in fact, we talked to an elderly lady the other day, and she said, "Well, I'll tell you, when we were younger, we just frittered away our money, but then we got serious at the end, and they became penny pinchers."
I know.
Right? And they saved everything.
To their demise,
you know,
really.
Paper bags, you know, the house is full of basically empty boxes, stuff full of shopping bags and whatever, and plastic bags, and you'd just be amazed at what some people save and scrimp because they fear that someday they're going to run out of money. Before they run out of time.
Well, it does. Fear does cause denial. It not only causes irrationality, where we can't think straight. And if you have a loved one around you that just absolutely goes off the deep end, screaming and shouting and yelling because their situation is so terrible, you grab them by the shoulders and you you yell at them, "Cool it, listen up, chill out," and because you've got to get their attention because irrationality isn't part of the Christian's lifestyle. And Darren, this denial and focus on the physical, it's one of the stories that we talk about is in Exodus 15, how the people grumbled and complained when they couldn't drink of the waters of Marah. And then in Exodus 16:3, they said, "Would we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us with hunger." And then Numbers 11:5, "We remember the fish which we ate free in Egypt." See, they're so full of denial, Darren. It wasn't free. That fish wasn't free, and those pots weren't full. I'm sure that many nights they went to sleep hungry, but they didn't remember that. They were in total denial, and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks, and now we have nothing. Here they were guided by God, and they said, "Now we have nothing."
Now, you know, many times we bring the message of the Scripture to people, and they almost treat us like they treated Moses here. In Exodus 17, they were out of water. Mm-hmm. And Moses was the man that could deliver. But Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me and why do you test the Lord? And Barb, just now as we're giving this message, I thought about some of our dear friends that really are led by the Spirit of God, and they go to family members or to their close friends, and they try to deal with them or they try to reason with them or whatever, and that person is just coming against them almost with violence. Mm-hmm. Who are they really coming against? Our friend? No, they're coming against the Lord God. They're trying to bring the message of the Lord. And then it goes on and say in Exodus 17:3, but the people thirsted there for water. They grumbled against Moses and said, why have you brought us up to Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? And this section is finished with these words by the people. Is the Lord among us or not? Mm-hmm. And I've heard people say that. Where's God? How come this child is sick? Why, God, if he really loved us, he wouldn't put this on us. Well, there are two errors there. Number one, God didn't put it on you. Mm-hmm. And number two, he is really with you. He hasn't abandoned you. You may think he has, but he hasn't.
Yes.
You need to go back to Scripture and find out the foundational faithfulness of God all the way through the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament. He never abandons us. He's always there.
That's right.
But we got to get on his page.
Well, and that's why we encourage people, Darren, to read it individually themselves, because we can't depend on our pastor and the stories he tells. Yes, the pastors are good, but on Sunday morning, that's one day a week, and we need to have that Word of God in our hearts on a daily basis. And you touched on something in the last hour about people that have physical ailments, and they go to the doctors, and those physical ailments are caused by fear. And these people, they say, the doctor couldn't find out what's wrong. How many times have we heard people say, the doctor just doesn't know what's wrong with me?
Well, let me say it this way. You alluded to this a while ago. You said a little different words, but you're taking your child to the wrong doctor. Let me say it this way. Fear doesn't show up in a test tube in a lab. You can go and have a blood test, a saliva test, a urine test. You know, they can test samples of your hair, samples of your skin. I mean, they can do all of those kinds of things, but fear doesn't show up in that lab report. Now, the result of fear shows up there sometimes, but you're going to get a wrong diagnosis. What you're after is, why do you have these things? Why do you have psoriasis? Why do you have arthritis?
Why do you have
why
ulcers?
Do you have ulcers, that's exactly. Right. Yeah. Why do you have MS? And you know, in our country, Barbara, we have a lot of colon cancer, a lot of intestinal cancer. Yeah, sure, they can go in and, you know, they can put the body bag on the outside of your body, and that's a horrible, horrible thing. Why don't we just pray and ask God to take the kinks out of our intestine, take the problems out of our colon? Well, how do you do that, Darren? Well, one of the things you do is get rid of fear. And right along with it, it's first cousin anger. Get rid of that. That's the spirit that is tormenting your body. So everything kinks up in there. You don't have proper elimination. And one day they call it cancer. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it is. And then they can diagnose it accurately. Well, how did you get that? How did you get that? Did it just come on you? No, over a period of time, that fear broke down your body, and now you're paying dearly because you didn't address it in a spiritual sense.
Yes.
And I've seen too much of that. I've seen people get healed of things like MS and arthritis and carpal tunnel when they got rid of the fear and the anxiety and the things. For example, you can end up with carpal tunnel, Barbara, if you just clench your fists and you tighten up, let's say you're right-handed, and you tighten up that right hand because that's your hand of use and hand of control. And then you're putting undue pressure, unnatural pressure, on your wrist and on your elbow and on your shoulder. And one day that rotator cuff begins to break down. Another thing that happens, your body naturally sends calcium, which is a natural painkiller, up to that area. Well, then you end up with a bone spur. I've never had one, praise God, but the people that have had told me they're horrendously painful. Well, that could come from fear and anxiety and worry, because you're carrying an undue load spiritually, but it's showing up in your body.
Yes.
I say, get rid of that thing. It's a monster. It's a killer. It's gonna put you in bed.
That's right. And we're not saying that fear is a total cause of that, but it may be. And Darren, I know, for instance, I was reading Mary Swope's book, and carpal tunnel is also caused by poor nutrition, because children's bones are not developed properly when they eat just sweets all their childhood, and so they develop bad nutritional habits, and their bones are affected by that. So we know that that's not the only reason, but it is a major reason. Fear is a major reason.
Now, let me jump on that a little bit. You know, fear messes up your metabolism, messes up your
yes.
digestion.
Yes.
So even if you're quote-unquote eating the right diet,